Erev Yontif, Erev Shvi Shel Chag, Pesach. And we want to study a little bit today, in preparation for Shvi Shel Chag, about the transition between Chometz and Matzah, or shall we say, in our case, between Matzah and Chometz. So we made the transition between Chometz and Matzah at the beginning of Yontif. Now we're approaching the end of Yontif, and the transition between Matzah and Chometz, and what we can take from Pesach as we go beyond. One of the topics I'd like to discuss with you is Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, but first, let's have a little bit of a study about the nature of Chometz and Matzah. The Avudraham, in his Haggadah, on the pasuk that we quote, which is very central tonight to the night of Pesach, Bavur Zeh, says that Zeh, which of course in Gematria 7 plus 5 is 12, represents the 12 mitzvos that a person performs on the night of Pesach. Four of them are the Arba Kosos. Add to that Charoses, which the Rambam paskins is a mitzvah. Karpas, which is an integral part of the Achila Salaila. The Rambam requires, of course, Tibul in the case of Charos Tibul in Karpas and Charoses. We have Netil Sidaim times two, one for Karpas and one for Matzah. We have Motzi, which means Shteil Lechem, Lechem Mishnah. We have Matzah, we have Moro, we have Kricha. All told, we have 12 mitzvahs. The Chidah in his Haggadah says that Tzipri Tzitzchayim would have been the 13th, except that what's common to all 12 is that these are mitzvos maisios, they require an action or a recitation, a dipping, an eating, whereas Tzipri Tzitzchayim is only speech, it's only dibur. There's a tradition from Rab Shlomo Brevda, one of the great Bali Musar, in the name of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who in turn has this tradition back to the Gaon, that there are as many as 64 mitzvos on Leil HaPesach, on one night. That includes, of course, both Doraisas and Drabonons. It also includes Brachos, and somehow you get to number 64. I tried to calculate, I couldn't come up with 64, but he doesn't give you the list. In any event, if we're focusing today on the concept of Chometz, let's talk about the Tshuvas HaRadbaz, very famous, Simon Tuf Tuf Kuf Ayin Zayin. In other editions, it's Tuf Kuf Mem Vav. And the question was asked to the Radbaz, who was Rabbeinu David Ibn Zimra back 5 centuries ago in Cairo in Egypt, why is it that Chometz is so unique within the constellation of Isure Achila, Isure Ano, Isure Torah? Manish Tana Chometz with Pesach Michol Isurim Shabbat Torah. Shech Miru Olav Torah. We have Chumras with regard to Chometz that we don't find in any other Macholos Asuras. We have a requirement of Bedika and Srefa, which means destroying the Chometz, Biur Chometz. Bittul, the Chacham added, Bedika Becharin and Mestakin. It's not enough to do Bittul, you have to do Bedika. And to look in all the Gvulim, and all the boundaries, all the camps, any part, any extensions of the house. And the Torah says that if you own any Chometz on Pesach, you violate Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze. Chometz is also B'mashu. There's no Bittul at all with regard to Chometz on Pesach. We don't find these Chumras with regard to any other Isur in the Torah. And if you'll say, well, Chometz is unique because it generates an Isur Kares, a punishment of Kares, well, what about Chelev and Dam? And if you'll tell me because it's also by no, what about Kalaya Kerem and Shor Niskal? Again, you could say that Chometz with Pesach has both the combination of both Kares and Isur Hanot together. That's a pretty unique combination. But nevertheless, we'll soon see that there's at least one other Isur that could fit that description. It's an Isur Kares, and it's also Bar Noah. In any event, with regard to Chelev and Dam, we don't find Bedika, we don't find Bayur or Bayimotze, we don't find Bir, nor do we find in the case of Kalaya Kerem and Sharon Niskal. And if you'll tell me, because Chometz is unique to Lo Bedili Minei Kula Shaita, the whole year round we're eating Chometz, what about Yayin Lin Nazir? In other words, lo b'dilimine is not enough to engender a chiyuv beer and an isur bal yiro by matzeh or raya yayin l'nazir, which is definitely lo b'dilimine inchi, and yet there's no requirement of beer or violation of bal yiro by matzeh. If you take chadash, for example, which is the same lechem the whole year round, it's lo b'dilimine atvua, and yet we don't find these chumras. So first, the Radbaz makes an attempt at answering this question on a halachic basis, and he wants to say that here, in the case of chametz, we have a unique triple header. We have the overlap of number one, isuri anah, number two, kares, and number three, lo b'dili minei inchi. And that triple combination of chumras might engender a special status in a chumra of chametz, and the chachamim came and added chumras on top of chumras, requiring not only bittul but bedika. And chametz is also a davar sheyesh lo matirim, because ad shetochlenu, why do you have to eat it in bittul in a taruvus on Pesach? Wait till after Pesach, you can eat it beheter. And he says that afal pisha zeh chametz who Mivayeri efshashiya lo heter elim kain yavra b'val yiroba yimotze. How can you say that this chametz will be mutter after yontif if he has it during yontif? He violates b'val yiroba yimotze, and therefore will be chametz shavu l'va pesach. He says, no. What about cases where you have chametz that he possessed it during Pesach, but he didn't violate anything, and therefore it's not chametz shavu l'va pesach, be mutter after Pesach, so therefore it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim. He goes on to say that even if you assume that chametz, insofar as it's a davar sheyesh matirim, it's not batel b'taruvos afilu b'elef, but that doesn't mean we have to seek out, search for chametz, burn it. That's not justified by davar sheyesh lo matirin. Then he goes on to mention the case of avodah zarah, where the Torah says lo yidbak biyodcha me'umah min acherem, that avodah zarah has chumras that are so unique. There's an isur hanah, and any time that you get involved with avodah zarah, if you admit and recognize its powers, kol amodavo kakofa b'kol Torah kula. And yet the Torah doesn't require bedika and bittul with regard to avodah zarah, except in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah lirdof achareha, but certainly in Chutz Lartz there's no mitzvah lirdof achareha. And if that be the case, there's no reason to justify all these chumras of bedika, bir, bittul, etc. in the case of chametz vis-a-vis avodah zarah. And at the end of the day, the Radbaz very famously finishes this tshuva by saying, "Lo echmira Torah." He says the Torah wasn't machmir b'chametz based on the halachic reasoning, but rather based on what we call remez. You know, Torah is made up of many different parts. There's pshat, and we didn't succeed within the context of pshat to justify the chumras of bir chametz, of bdika bir chametz. But there's another concept, another dimension to Torah study, and that's called remez. And he says that what is chametz in remez? It's a remez to the Yetzer Hara, the biggest, most formidable enemy that the individual faces. It's called the Sa'ar Shebi'isa. We'll see where the Radbaz borrows that phrase from in just a minute. And therefore, we have to completely exile the chametz from our midst. Get rid of it. Look for it in every single possible hiding place, even within our thoughts. And even a kol shu is not batel, because this represents the yetzer hara. Now, at the end of the day, just to summarize, although the Radbaz does not find any justification within the halachic framework, halachic thinking and modes of halacha to explain and justify the chumras of chametz, that the Torah was more machmer in chametz than anywhere else, So Al-Pi Pshat, he doesn't come up with any justification, but rather within the context of remez, that the chametz is a remez to Yetzer Hara. And that means that in this case, the remez is elevated, if you will, to the status of pshat, to really explain the chumers on a level of pshat. That a person has to be very careful, go as far away as he can, distance himself as far as he can, possibly can, with regard to the Yetzer Hara. And he's got to look in all the Chorin and Stokim and the Chedrei Libo. He shouldn't find even a shemetz of Yetzer Hara left. And he's got to be Mavire the Chum. He's got to destroy it. And he's got to burn it. And it could be that the burning process is also a symbol of how we battle against the Yetzer Hara. We burn the chametz, we burn the Yetzer Hara. How do you burn the Yetzer Hara? That's called the Eish HaTorah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah as an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. As Chazal say, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu barasi Yetzer Hara, barasi lo Torah tavlin. So Torah is the antidote. That's the takana. That's the burning of the Yetzer Hara, the burning of the chametz. And if we take a look at the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin, and I believe we've mentioned this in the past, the Gemara records the various respective additions at the end of Shmon Esrei of the Amoraim and Rabbi Alexandria. When he finished his Shmon Esrei, he said, Ribono lo'om im galui v'yadu fenecha shritzoneinu lasu tzotonecha. Our will is to fulfill your will. Mima akiv sa'ar shebe'isa v'shivud malchios. So we have this concept of sa'ar shebe'isa. Rashi in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin says sa'ar shebe'isa is the eight sa'ar shebel v'aveinu amach mitzenu. No, something in our spiritual makeup, in our heart, goes through a chimutz, a fermentation process, becomes sour, and that's a result of the Yetzer Hara that works on us. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, tells us that if you look through Tanakh, you'll find seven different names for the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is called evil. At the end of Bereishis, Parashas Bereishis says, Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minu Urav. Moshe has a different name. He calls it an Orel, Umartam, Es Orlas Levavchem. David has a different name for the Yetzer. He calls him Tomei, Lev Tahar Broli Elokim, Mechal Deika Tomei. Shlomo calls it a Sone. This becomes the arch enemy of the Jew is the Yetzer Hara. Shenemar Im Ra'ev Sonacha Chileu Lechem V'im Tzamei Ashkei Umayim. Ki gecholam atachote al rosho, v'Hashem yishalim lecha, altik yishalim lecha, yashlimenu lecha. Yeshaya calls him a michshol, sol sol panu derech, harimu michshol mi derech ami. Yechezkel calls him an even, v'isarti a slave even v'psarchem. Seven different names for the Yetzer Hara. And the Chovos HaLevavos and the Shaar Yichud is famous for saying that the Sonei Gadol, the worst enemy that we have in this world, is the Yetzer. And he goes ahead and tells a story about a certain chassid who was dedicating his life, his energy, to fighting his Yetzer Hara. And he once met up, he had an encounter with soldiers that came back from a battle against the enemy. And they took with them, as a result of the victory, a great deal of shalom, of booty. And they were in a great mood, these soldiers. They were really celebrating. They were there was jubilation in the air. Omer lehem. And his chassan warned them. He says, Shavtim in alchama ketana, you're back from a small war. And his asdu, meaning prepare for the future, l'melchama gdola, for the big battle. Omer lo. And they responded, Maya melchama gdola, we just won the battle. Omer lehem, alchamas ha-yetzer, v'chayolov. The Yetzer has a powerful army and he comes to attack you. This is the battle. And the Chidah goes ahead and he says that the seven names for the Yetzer Hara parallels the seven chumras of chametz. And although he doesn't go through the list, I think we can compile our own list. There's a mitzvah of beer chametz. Chametz is also b'mashu, that's two. There's bal yirah, and that's three. Bal yimotzi is four. Again, bal yirah applies in certain cases out there that it wouldn't apply bal yimotzi. Bal yimotzi applies even here, but it's dug in. Even though it's not bal yirah, you can't see it. So we have four already. Then there's achila. There's kares. There's isra anah. There's isra anah. So we have seven chumras here with regard to chametz. And that parallels the seven names of the Yetzer Hara. And if that be the case, we begin to see that this idea of Chumrah, that the Torah is so strict with regard to Chametz, insofar as it represents the Yetzer Hara, which expresses itself in seven ways in which the Torah is machmir in classifying Chametz as enemy number one. You need bdika, you need chippus b'char and stock, you need bittul, you need sreifa, it's also b'mashu, b'ayro b'yimotze. All these are indications of the battle and the attack against the Yetzer Hara. And back in April of 2016, that was just a year ago, we gave a shiur. This was a two-part shiur that we gave on April 17th, 2010. You can find it on YU Torah, about the insights of the Hevi Nachamuni to the concept of Chametz and its relationship to matzah, because matzah is really almost Chametz. You know, you have all the ingredients, and it's got to be something that's Bali de Chimutz, and something that could be also B'Torah's Chametz. And then you arrest the process prematurely to make it matzah instead of Chametz. So that the relationship between matzah and Chametz is very fundamental. Matzah is a very tricky object to obtain, to create, because it's very, very close to being chametz. And that's bedafka, because the chametz and matzah are enemies, and matzah means to battle against that enemy and to overcome. And that's why the word matzah, some say, is from the word meitzar, meaning go out and battle against those who are pressuring you, meaning the Yetzer Hara. I have here a quote from Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, Zichrono Livracha, and he writes that the month of Nisan is a month of Hiskadshus and Hiskadshus. Hayom etem yotzim b'chodesh Aviv, the Torah says, and Aviv means that all the rains and the winter weather has terminated. It's behind us, although we did have a little rain this Pesach. But winter represents a certain state of everything is dormant, everything is dead, there's no flowering, there's no development, there's no birth. Now we come to Aviv, which is the period of spring, which everything springs forward. It's pricha, it's growth, it's hischadshus, it's something new. And that's what this month is all about. This is a month in which a Jew can take upon himself, especially with regard to the Leil HaSeder, and all the days of Pesach, to develop and to grow and to be mechadesh, and that's what Sefirah Zomer is all about. So the metzius, the spiritual entity or reality of every Jew, can be changed, can be renewed during this period of time. And there is an anthology and an entire cocktail of haggadahs that you can get a hold of, and There's one Haggadah in particular from Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Chaver, one of the Gedolim of the Friedrich Adar, and he writes over and over again about, it's all based on the Arizal, that Golus Mitzrayim is parallel to the embryonic stage, and the Yetziah Mitzrayim is parallel to birth. And in many Pesukim, Yetzias Mitzrayim is compared to Leda, to birth. For example, in Yeshayahu Novi says, Chol gam yolda tzion es baneha, rani akar lo yolada, ki rab b'nei shomema, v'yamarta bilvocha mi yelad li es eila, mi yolad li es eila. And this parallel, this analogy, sheds an entire light on Golus and Geula, because just like a woman during the pregnancy period, while the embryo is developing within her womb, and the organs of the body and all the parts, the muscles and so forth, are all being organized, you can't see the embryo. I mean, today again, we have very sophisticated ways of seeing the embryo, but on the outside at least, the embryo is not to be seen. It's not nikar mibachutz, even though it's ready to be born. But at some stage, 9 months down the line, when the Binyan Avlad, the entire structure, the Tzuris Avlad is complete, then it comes out of its mother's womb and it becomes an independent entity unto itself. While it's in its mother's womb, it's uber yerech imo. It's like a thigh. It's like a member of the mother's body. And in the case of Golas Mitzrayim and the Nimshal, the whole purpose is to be mashlim binyan ha'uma, is to complete the structure of this nation, that it should be roy, it should be a nation that's fitting, that merits chalos shem shamayim aleim, that the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ashros HaShechina is related to Klal Yisrael. It's a yichud gomer between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael without any intermediaries. It's direct. And even though in general, you know, when we look at the world, there's nature and causality in different levels, but with regard to Knesset Yisrael, it's a direct relationship. Now, the Vlad cannot become perfect and a whole unless it was put into a place that's very narrow, that's the womb of the mother, and it's most in a certain sense. You know, there are certain different types of chemical stuff that's going on over there, and all sorts of different mius and zium. And Klal Yisrael, the Nimshal, were put into Mitzrayim. It's a place that's very narrow. It's very mezuham. It's very contaminated. It's the most contaminated land, Mitzrayim, of all the lands on the face of the earth. It's maus and meguna. The midos of the Mitzrayim are compared by Yechezkan Novi to Besar Chamorim Besaram. And the Torah itself warns us in Vayikra Yudches, Kemaiser it's Mitzrayim lo tasu lachem. And therefore, Mitzrayim is called back in Sefer Bereishis already, Erev HaSa'aretz. And therefore, when the chosen people who are there in Mitzrayim are meant to emerge as a separate independent nation, as long as they're there, it's goy b'kerev goy, but the idea is to, in this embryonic developing stage, to develop a nation which is vayi sham, there in Mitzrayim l'goy, v'lam yishal yisom mitzuyonim sham, that somehow at the culmination of this entire process of golos, of the entire period of exile, nevertheless, what emerges is a nation that is dedicated, that's mitzuyonim, that's not like the goyim, not like the darchei ha-mitzrim that surround them. They were gedurim barayos, Chazal say, even while they were subjected to slavery in Mitzrayim. And during this entire development period, the preparation is made for the shleimus of a goy kadosh, a nation that's going to emerge independent as a goy kadosh. Now, the period of the embryo in its mother's womb can be divided up into three subsections. From the time of conception until the time of birth and beyond. And the first section is Helem. That's the first period of time. Helem means that we don't really know too much about the Uber as its development. But then we get to the second stage, and that is when the mother is ready to give birth to the child. That's when the child begins to become revealed. Again, we haven't seen the entire child yet, but it's coming out. Then the third period is after the child is already completely born, completely revealed. It becomes an independent being. It's not called on its mother's name anymore. And the Jewish people went through three different periods in Mitzrayim that parallel these three periods of the fetus and its birth. And the birth, of course, represents the Yetziyah in Mitzrayim. The first period of time is Golus itself. And at this point, during the Golus period of time, there's no revealed identity of the Jewish people as a separate unit of Miyuchad Lashem that are dedicated and singled out to God. They were completely secondary or even batel to the Mitzrayim. and they were subject to the laws of nature. There was no revelation at all of the Iker Mila of this great nation and its uniqueness. This was during the Golos period. Again, everything is meant to be revealed at the end of the Golos. But during this Golos period, the Jews did not imitate the Goyim. They were very unique. They were different in many different ways, as Chazal point out. And even an embryo in its mother's womb, even though it eats and is sustained by its mother's food, nevertheless, it still has the same a name of a Vlad. It has an entity, an identity of an Ubar, of being an embryo, which means the potential for birth and complete independence. And during, again in the Nimshal, during the time of Golus, there was a nation that was very unique here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal His kavod, His glory to them, and the Shibud was creating a mute, I mean, in other words, a mute meaning some sort of inferior status of the Jewish people, because the Machsheves HaMitzrim was Havan Eschak Melo Pen Yirbeh. And even though the Egyptians were subjugating the Jewish people and making them into dwarfing them in terms of their independence and their identity, nevertheless, Kasher Yanu Oso Ken Yirbeh V'chein Yifrotz, even, and despite, this is the paradox of Mitzrayim, despite the Inui and all the oppression of the Jewish people, they were Nirbeh, they were Porev Aroben, they were Porates, but nevertheless, it's still Begeter Helem, you know, still things are covered up. Like in the case of the Ubar B'mei Imo. Everything is still covered up. And even though clearly the Ubar is developing and growing within its mother's womb, that we can definitely see, but nevertheless the identity and the true inner development in terms of personality, that's something that's concealed. And Chazal in Masechta Nida Daf Lamed Aleph speak about the 9 months of pregnancy divided into 3 sections of 3 months each. The first section is the Vlad is living on the bottom, and then in the middle section it moves up, and at the third 3 months it moves all the way up as it prepares for birth. And even though the Vlad is going up and up during the time of the pregnancy, nevertheless it's getting close to the point where it'll go all the way down and come out of its mother's birth canal. So too in the 3 Zmanim of Golus Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, way back in the Bris Menu, some told Avram Avinu, Ki Geria Zarecha B'Yeretz Lo Lehem Vavadum V'inu Osam. There are 3 stages here. First is the stage of Gerus, meaning B'Yeretz Lo Lehem. And As long as Yaakov Avinu was still alive, and as long as one of the Shvatim was still alive, Levi was the last one to die, there was no Shibud. It was just Ger Yazarach Be'eretz Lo'lehem. Then starts stage number 2, which is the Avdus, and that leads up to the 3rd stage, which is really the Inui, and the most intense suffering and torture. That's already after Vayokem El Chodesh Al Mitzrayim. Chazal identify that as the time of the birth that coincides with the birth of Miriam. And that Melech Chodesh is going to torment the Jewish people, the Shibud Mamish, Havan Eschak Malo, etc. And then at the end of the Golus, from the time that Miriam is born, when the last term, so to speak, of Golus is the most intense koshi of Shibud, of subjugation, of slavery, of Inui, of anguish. Ve'anchu b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael would let out a spontaneous yelp, a cry for help. It was just, they were suffering so much. But in any event, we see clearly that there are 3 sections or time periods to the Golus clock of Klal Yisrael, and that represents Gerus, Avdus, and Inui. And what's totally mind-boggling And so counterintuitive is that as the Inui intensifies, then although the agenda of the Mitzrayim was Sheishtaku Yisrael v'nim, that the Jewish people would lose their identity and they would melt into Egyptian society, they would never be able to come out of there because they didn't exist any longer as an entity, and therefore Geula and the concept of freedom, redemption, would be completely impossible. And yet what happened in reality was just the reverse, just the opposite, that they got closer to the Geula, and the Koshi Hashibud actually was used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashlama to substitute for the Zman element of Golus. And they became, as they became close to the time of Leda, of emerging as a free people, and that would mean to be Magala, to reveal their Mila, their Madrega, therefore him Shilu HaGolus L'Ibur Mamish. Golus is always to be equated with this analogy of Ibur, of pregnancy and birth. Yitzias Mitzrayim on Leil Tesvav B'Nisan represents the mother giving birth to her child. And then there's a 7-day period of Pesach culminating in Kriyas Yamsuf, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu engenders and generates all the great miracles and marvelous supernatural occurrences. After all the makas of the Mitzrayim, now we have the Kriyas Yamsuf Mamish. This is the Maila Madregis Yisrael, which begins to emerge as the Am Kadosh and Mamleches Kon, and the Am Skula. So we see clearly that what the Arizal was saying, that Golus is like the Bechina of Ibur, to develop the fetus until it's ready to be born as an independent entity. That's what Golus is like in its parallel, in its analogy to Ibur, dividing up Golus into its three developmental stages, paralleling the developmental stages of the embryo. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, when he shows up, he says, Elokei ha'ivri shlachani elecha, I was sent as a shliach by the God of the Hebrews. And the Gemara in Tainus says that although man can be a shliach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different ways, but there are three keys that are never given into the hands of the shliach. They always remain close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and exclusive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of them is the maftech of chaya, of birth. And it means that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, birth is really an impossibility. The embryo is stuck in such a very narrow place that based on the laws of nature, it can't escape from there and come out as a viable being. And Yitzias Mitzrayim is the same. The Torah says, V'arvarti b'eretz Mitzrayim. And the Baal HaGadol says, Ani v'lo shaliach. And it means that al piderech hateva, according to the laws of spiritual nature and the regulations therein, there's no possibility of Klal Yisrael getting out of there. This is the Erevas Haaretz, and once you're trapped in the Erevas Haaretz, to emerge as a spiritual pure being is virtually impossible. They were in the thick of Zuama, of contamination, of Shlita Satuma, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the birth canal in such a way that he untied all these knots that connected the Jewish people to Mitzrayim and to the Bali Akishu for Mitzrayim, all the sorcerers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, B'chol Elohei Mitzrayim es eshfotim ani Hashem. And Hashem fights the battle against these forces of Tuma in order to create a Leda from a Mokum Tsar, which Al Piderech HaTeva could not be. And now we get to the main question for today, and that is, were the Jewish people at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, were they Roy Legu'ula? And to start our analysis of that moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim itself, we look in the section from Yechezkel in the Haggadah, Va'e'avar alayich va'ar'ech mispossesses b'damayich, And the Navi describes Klal Yisrael as at a Rome the area. There's a whole process of birth that's being described here. Revava Kitsemachason said Vatirvi Vatigli Vatavoi. And it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim because of the Shvuah, the Bris. And I believe that the Navi here is referring clearly to the Bris with Avraham Avinu. And he says, Ve'evar alayich ve'ereich ve'hine iteich eis dodim ve'froz knafai alayich v'chaseh ervaseich ve'shaval loch ve'avo bibris. And it goes on. The Rambam, in fact, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, has a long discussion about the development of Avodah Zarah. And he speaks about the fact that during the long years of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Orchu Yomim Li Yisrael B'Mitzrayim V'chazululma Ma'aseyem V'olavad Avodah Zarah Kibosar Chutz Mishevet Levi. Okay, fine. U'kamat Kat Haya. It was almost at the breaking point that the Ikar, meaning the fundamental belief in monotheism, Sheshos al Avram, would nekar, would be totally undermined. V'yatzeru b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yaakov litos ha'amim v'tiyosam, that they would now be totally accepting the culture and the Avodah Zarah culture, the idolatrous culture of Mitzrayim. But then he says, "Umeavas Hashem osanu." It's only because of God's love for us. Umeshamro es hashvu leAvraham Avinu, because he guards and he upholds the shvu that he gave to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, he makes Moshe Rabbeinu the Rabban Shel Kol Anaviim, and he sends him on the shlichus. And it's Nabe Moshe Rabbeinu, Boch Hashem Bisol and Nachla. And here we have a famous statement that it's world famous in the name of the Arizal. It's quoted even by the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo, that im hayu shoim b'Mitzrayim, if Klal Yisrael would have remained longer in Mitzrayim, they would have entered into the most, the irretrievable, irreversible level of lowest level of contamination of Avodah Zarah. They could never be redeemed. So the idea of lo hayu shoim b'Mitzrayim that the Arizal is postulating is really what tells the whole story over here. That the people who left Mitzrayim were really not worthy. On the contrary, they were on the brink of the abyss of a bottomless pit, of being lost completely because of the 50th level of Tumah. And the Pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us, Vayofu esabotzek asher otziv Mitzrayim ugos matzki lo chometz ki garshu Mitzrayim. There was a certain urgency in their, getting expelled from Mitzrayim. Lo yochlu esameah. They couldn't dilly-dally. It had to be immediate. Because again, the Arizal's principle, that in Hayushoim v'Mitzrayim, they would enter into the 50th level of Tumah. Now again, the sum total, or the bottom line, of everything that we're saying is a ratio and a sefer. The ratio is that the Jewish people are on a very, very low level at the time Yetzias Mitzrayim. Their spiritual level was rock bottom, just about. And number two, had the Jewish people not been redeemed at that moment, lo yochlu lismamea, if there would have been a shehiyah Mitzrayim, then they would have been lost forevermore. So that's the sum total of everything we've seen here. But yet, we have a number of sources, we'll start with the Tanit Be'el Yo, but there are others, that indicate that Klal Yisrael that left Mitzrayim was on a very high level. And Elio Anovi in Tanit Be'el Yo records the story. Pamachzis Yovimok. I was traveling. Motzaani Zakin Echav Yomali, and an elderly Jew, apparently a scholar of some sort, turns to me, Rebbe, and he says to me the following: Doros Haloluim Ksherim Yosim and Yotzim Mitzrayim. There are generations of Jews that by far surpass and supersede the levels of the those who left Mitzrayim. Ve'ei beinecha. Just look at it. Ve'oznecha shma, listen carefully. Sharei dorosh of Moshe. Let's look at the generation of Moshe. And those are the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Lohoi imam rak tor v'lvad. All they had was the chamishikum shei Torah. But Doris Halalu, if we fast forward into Jewish history, we're talking about Doris that have Torah, Nevi'im Iksuvim. Amarti Lo, and Elio says in return, Lo, you're making a mistake. Shari Osan Ador Shahoyu Miyom Shachar of Beis HaMikdash Shanim Nevi'im Sheini. Take a look at the generation between Beis Rishon and Beis Sheini. Hoyi Moim Torah Nevi'im Iksuvim. Not only did they have all sections of the written Torah of Tanakh, they also had Divrei Pilpul Shel Torah. They had Torah Shebal Peh and Pilpul Dorais as well. And yet, Afilu Hachilo Hayuk Sherim, Kimo Yotzim Mitzrayim, they weren't on the level of Yotzim Mitzrayim. And therefore, in Rotzat Olilmo, Vechavitzat Tabidivri Torah, if you really want to know the truth, Tselumad, Mashenemer Behem, the Yotzim Mitzrayim, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah describes the Yotzim Mitzrayim and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yotzim Mitzrayim, Halok Vekarasi Beozne Yerushalayim, Lemakoa Mashem, Zachati Lo Chesed Nurayach Avas Klu Yosoyach. All these beautiful descriptions of appellations describing the Jewish people, these are the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And Zachati lo chesed raf avas klu l'soich, the love of Hashem. And it's unbelievable, according to the Tanit Be'elio, the Torah that Moshe reveals to the people of the Dor Midbar, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, is endless. It's infinite. Aval is the Lashon HaTorah. Kishahoyu Yotzei Mitzrayim Ha'alchim V'Midbar, Lo'iniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dover Bo'olam Shel Gilul Yisrael. Everything, all the sodos, all the secrets, and the mystical concepts that are inherent in the Torah were all revealed to Klal Yisrael. Shenemar Sod Hashem Li'irev U'brisam Lo'diyom. V'nemar, ki lo yas Hashem Elokim dover ki im gola sodo el avodav hanavim. So this was the great level of Yotzei Mitzrayim of that generation. And the Haggadah of the Siach Yitzchak, I have his sefer called the Gvuras Yitzchak. I don't have the Haggadah of Siach Yitzchak. But I believe it's the same author, if I'm not mistaken, the Rashiva from Lakewood, Rav Sorotskin, and he points out that with regard to try to evaluate and estimate the darga, the level of Yotzei Mitzrayim, there are stiros all over the place, contradictions within Chazal. In some places it seems that they were evil, they were chotim, they were down in the Mem Teshari Tumo, we mentioned the Ari before, the Mechilta in Parshas Bo, says that that the people of Israel were really strictly according to law, they deserve to be destroyed. And Yechezkel describes them as, Oron Vieria and so forth and so on. But on the other hand, we find just the reverse, just the opposite. And Chazal seemed to indicate, and we saw in the Tanya Be'elio, that the people of Israel were roy to have a nes. Ruim HaYisrael also slahem nes b'mei Ezra k'dech shenasa b'mei Yoshua shegar machet. It means Oli Mitzrayim are in a madrega that's way beyond that of Oli Bavel. The Zohar says that lo yeh k'dor ahu shel dor midbar ad malka de Mashiach. There'll never be another generation like the dor of the midbar until Mashiach comes. And this was the dar that heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice directly, Nevuah Beheketz, while they're awake. The Alshach says that this is all because they were purified in Mitzrayim, and there'll never be a generation like it. And look what Hasaga they reached at the Yamsuf, Ras HaShivcha LaYam, the Rambam in his Mishneh Torah writes, no, I'm sorry, not in the Mishneh Torah, in his Shmona Prakim, he writes at the end of Perek Dalet, Anoshim, we could describe the Dor HaMidbar as people, Shaktana Shebeneshayim, Ki Yechezkel Ben Buzi. Wow. And of course what we saw in Tana de Be'elio. So what do we have over here? We have really contradictions in a very collisions in a very fundamental way. If we want to understand the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and in the Siach Yitzchak, he bases himself on the concept of the two parts of man. You know, there's the Chitzonius and there's the Pnimius, and he wants to say that, according to the Eitz Pri, that because man has these two opposing powers to him within one person, within one human being, the Chitzonius and the Pnimius, the external and the internal, and sometimes the Chitzonius looks really evil, but in the internal, the Pnimius, it's good. It could be the opposite. You know, could have a person that in his Chitzonius he looks good, but in his Pnimius he's really rotten to the core. Yerov ben Nevat, for example, in his Chitzonius did certain things that were very good. Reading the Lashon here of the Siach Yitzchak, he writes, V'chein yesh lecha adam asher yorad mata mata b'chitzonius, but ola mala mala b'pnimius. It's unbelievable how these two arrows go in opposite directions completely. If you want to describe the situation and evaluate the ancestors in Mitzrayim, then on the outside, in the Chitzonius, Lo Shamuel Moshe Lefrosh Me'Avodah Zorah, they were still, you know, in a sense, addicted to the external mechanical service to Avodah Zorah. They couldn't listen to Moshe and terminate that. But that's called Mikotzer Ruach in the Torah's description. That's not the Pnimius, because the Pnimius Hayu Tovim, and all the descriptions of the level of Israel at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim as being very positive, very high, that's because the Pnimius was very, very good. You know, the rottenness was only on the outside. Al Ken Kishashol Moshe Ben Olavashom V'Ezes Chus Otzias B'nei Yisrael Heshiv Hashem V'Otziach HaTavunis Hashem V'Harahu. Meaning that because of the Pnimius, as soon as when we break the Chitzonius, then the Pnimius will really shine the light of the potential for them to accept the Torah down the line, and that's why Hashem takes them out of Mitzrayim. That's the thesis of the Siach Yitzchak. So again, when we read the Psukim, for example, we darshan the parasha in Kisovo Arami Ovid Ovi and the Leil Asay the Vayotzeinu Hashem Yitzchak Biyad Chazok Bizor Nektuvi Bar Golbosus Mosim, and on the list is Mora Gadol. The Haggadah says that's Gili Shechina. So there was a Gili Shechina at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That must have been to people already on a level. And again, according to the Siach Yitzchak's thesis, that means their level was the Pnimius. And the Haggadah goes on to say, "Kmo shenemar, O Anisa Lokim, lo vo lo kachas lo goy mikerev goy b'masos b'osos b'mosim milchom b'yad chazokis on tuya b'ram gedolim k'chol asher osa Hashem lochem Hashem melokecha b'mitzrayim le'einecha." And all this, in a sense, reflects what we see in Parshas Vaeschanan, O Anisa Lokim Lavolokachas Logoi Mikerev Goi, Vemasos Biosos Vosim Ulchom of Yod Chazokas on the Tui, etc., etc. And in the name of the Shiboli Aleket, it's very famous that when Hanisa Lokim Lavolokachas Logoi Mikerev Goi, he says that the letters from Lavo Lakachas Lo Goy Mikerev Goy, and you get it all the way up to Baosos Uvimosim, you'll come up with a magic number of 72 letters. And the 72 letters are parallel to the holiest name of Hashem, the ineffable name of God, which is the Shem Ben Ayin Beis Osios. And even though if you count it, you'll notice there are not 72 letters, but really 75 letters. That's because you have to subtract the second Goy, because it's Goy, which is B'nai Yisrael, Mikarev Goy, and here the word Goy is referring to the Mitzrim. So in this pasuk itself, where Hashem is taking out Goy, meaning Klal Yisrael, they are a unique nation. They're being taken out Biosus Umosin by the Shem Ben Ayin Beis Osios. That's the Gilui Shechina here that we're referring to when it says B'mora Gadol. It's the Shem Ben Ayin Beis Osios that's taking that's taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And at the end of his presentation, the Shibbol HaLeket says, Teda, Sheksiv, Kein Ksiv, Ze Keli Ve'anveu, Shoyumarim Kvodo Be'etzba. Now, if you're talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim, you're talking about people who could point to Hashem Be'etzba, because they had experienced a very intimate and close encounter with the Shem Ben Ayin Beis Osios. And then when we get back to Matzah, we sort of get a little bit of a different impression, because Matzah Zushanu Ochlem, we say in the Haggadah, Al Shumal Shum Shalom Hispik, B'tekim Shalach B'tan Shenigal Leim Melch Malchi Amalokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, U'go'ola Miyad, Ki Garshu, V'lo Yochlu L'smameh. You know, that sounds more like the Arizal's thesis that we began with, that Lo Yochlu L'smameh, that if there'd be any delay in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, who knows what would have happened. There had to be Garshu, there had to be Kripazon. There's no room for L'smameh over here. And the Leshem Shebo V'Achalma is another one of those very, esoteric Haggadahs, which are also largely based on Kabbalah. He quotes, not by name, but the thesis of the Arizal, that when the Pasuk says, Ki Garshu Mitzrayim V'lo Yochlu L'smameh, which sounds on a simple level to mean that they had to pack their bags and flee because they were afraid of the Mitzrim. And that obviously can't be the pshat, because why would they be afraid of the Mitzrim? So what's all this klipazon? And why couldn't they wait a few hours to prepare themselves to say the lederech? They didn't have to be afraid of the Mitzrim. Says the Arizal, again he doesn't quote him by name, he calls him the Mefarshim, that the chippos and all the rush and all the emergencies, because the fear was they would enter into the 50th level of Tumah. And he says that can't be pshat. And maybe he means that's not what the Ari meant, and we'll soon see a reinterpretation of the Ari then, in a different perspective, but it's impossible to say that at that moment on Leil Tesvav B'Nisan, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were on such a level of Shari, of Chamishim Shari Tumah Chas V'Shalom, that they had to be taken out immediately, Garshu B'Chipazon, because on the contrary, he says, the kochos of the Shari Atuma, the Chamishim Shari Tuma, the kochos Atuma were batel at that point. You know, there was Gili Shechina. There was L'chol B'nei Yisrael O'yechatz Kelev L'shono. There was such a Gili Shechina of the Ayin Beis Osios that we saw in the Shibboleth HaLeket. And also Bem Shvatim Eloheim, that God had fought against and caused the idols and the gods of the Mitzvim to be succumbed, v'hargas b'choreim, there was no room for shlitas atuma, for the domain and the domination of the powers of contamination, of evil, of those polluted forces of tuma, no. But rather, we have to divide up the period of Bnei Yisrael here into two parts. You know, when we're talking about Sof Shibudom et Chilas Geulasom, at the end of this process, and we'll soon see that this process was a year long, towards the end of this process, then for sure that there was no Shlita to the Kochas Hatuma. But if you talk about the Tchilas Hagul, if you're going back in time to the beginning of the period, when there was still Avodim Mitzrayim, then maybe you could say that they entered into this level of Tumah, of Memtesh Shari Tumah. But once the Geula process began with the Makos, which took place, spread over a period of 12 months, as it says in the Shmos Rabbah, the Mishpat HaMitzrim Yud Beis Chodesh, this appears elsewhere in the Seder Olam, then at that point, we start a process of Yeridas HaTuma, Mishlitasa. The Sitra Achra, the Tuma, is going down. And it goes down and down and down. He says, Yorda Me'al V'Hola B'Yeridach HaYeridah B'Frat Achra Shemposka HaShibud Shumi Rosh Hashanah. So already by Rosh Hashanah time, you know, it was halfway through the 12 months, there was no longer Shibud. And certainly during the month of Nisan, and then on the first night of Pesach, all the Sitra Achra, all the Tuma was Kfufa or Kvusha, was completely subjugated. It was at a point of almost extinction, almost point of Bittul Gamre. There would be no possibility of a shlita of the of these powers of Tumah. Then he has a whole long discussion, which we don't have to get into, based on the Vilna Gaon and his Pirush on Mishlei, that it's impossible to talk about the Sitra Achra reaching the 50th Shar. That's impossible. Because Mem Tes, okay, but not, you can't talk about, well, we're going to enter into the 50th Shar. There's no way that evil could reach that level of the 50th Shar. You could have on the positive side of Tara, of Chochmah, of Kedusha, you could have 50. That's possible. You know, that maybe the Shar of Bina number 50, I don't know. But to say that you could have a Milui of 50 in the Shar Atuma, that's impossible. Although he does say that maybe the Arizal has some support, but the Gaon is right in this machlok, because he takes sides with the Gaon, because you know, there's Memtes Shari Tuma Keneged, you know, Zelu Mazel Salukim Keneged the Memtes Shari Tara, but there's no way that it could be within the context of Almighty God and divinity of Bechina Saint Sof that there could be something called the 50th Shar of Tuma. That can't exist. In any event, based on this fact, when he comes back to Lo Yochol Lismameach Ki Garshu, and he wants to explain why it was such urgency to get Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he says, Pukfaket, the exact opposite is really the truth. That on this night of Pesach, when the Shlita of the Tumah of the Kochos HaTumah was completely null and void, the Ein Od Makom L'Shlita HaTumah Klal U'Klal, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in revealing himself, you know, Hofia Oz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that powerful presentation or revelation of the Melech Malchi Amlochim, at that point when the Shari Tumah and the Sitrach was so low down and they were being beaten over the course of the last 12 months, Ilu Hayinis Akvu Od Rega Mitzrayim, had the redemption been delayed for one more moment, Hayis Bisbatel Kol Sitrachu Mikol V'chol Nisbatel HaBachira SheYisiva Mechuvenes, there would no longer be a Yetzahar. And this comes back to that discussion from last year in April, when we discussed the fact that the Chometz has to be there, the Yetzahar has to be there in order to challenge us, and that's the matzah that comes close to being Chometz, and we defeat the Yetzahar, but that challenge to face and encounter the Yetzahar and battle against him, that is what life is all about. That's the purpose of our existence. That's what energizes us and keeps us going. And if the Geula would have been delayed for another moment, then there would never be Bechira at all. And so Mitzrayim Ha'oz, Rosh Lechol HaKlipas Kulak, Shinis Batla, He, if the power of this Klipa, of this Sitra Achra Mitzrayim would be null and void, HaMis Batla, Kol HaSitra Achra, Kol V'chol, HaYabitl Yetzar L'Gamre, Lo Yamakom L'Bechira Klal. That's what Lo Yochol Lismameh is. So it's just the opposite, from one extreme to the other. That what was pressing was not the fact that Klal Yisrael Chasrom would enter into the fifth level of Tumah, that's impossible, but rather that the Tum itself would be null and void, defeated for all eternity. There would never be a choice. There would never be a Tzahar to challenge Bnei Yisrael. And this is what it's all about. And if this be so, Rabosai, then again we come back to the beginning of our discussion, namely that that Chometz is Chometz, and it's the Yetzirah, and we have Matzah, which is very close, but, you know, we veer off at the last moment to avoid any sort of collision, any sort of downfall with the Yetzirah. And that's what this challenge is all about. So we talk about, you know, Chometz, Matzah, Chometz, we talk about now plunging forward, and we're going to, in a short period of time, unfortunately, we'll be leaving the Matzah behind, And going back and readopting and replacing our position within the world of Chometz, but the challenge there is going to be to again having Baruch Hashem successfully defeating the Yetzirah and eating the matzah for so long. Now we are fortified and we are strengthened to face the challenges of the Yetzirah. We've mentioned in the past that there are three basic ways of facing the Yetzirah, and one is through Limud Torah, which, as we said before, becomes the Eish HaTorah that burns the Chometz, the beer, the Sreifa, the Chometz, the Yetzirah, the Barasi Torah, Barasi Torah. It means to intellectually and emotionally appreciate the Mitzvah Hashem. That's going to motivate us when the Yetzirah puts barriers and blockages in front of us not to fulfill the Torah. Then we have the second method if that doesn't work. And it, all the intellectual and emotional doesn't work. We have Hayona Sachutza with Yosef HaTzadik. That means we have to avoid places and situations which tempt us. We have to actively push ourselves and distance ourselves from the bar. Otherwise, the wind will blow us over if we come too close. And if that doesn't work, then the last method of facing the temptations of the Yetzirah is Maskirin Lo Yom HaMisa, to realize that time is precious, that we were endowed with Cheres, meaning Kedushas Hazman. We can take time, we can mold it, we can use it, we can really create our own destiny, and we could seek out more and more opportunities, not to let the Yetzer Hara convince us to postpone our opportunities and to let time fall between our fingers, grab on to every opportunity. And Amir Tzashem, as we go forward after this Pesach, Tov Shinayin Zayin, having been fortified by the strength of the matzah, the avoidance of chametz, of experiencing the Gilui Shechina, of these great days of chesed and rachmim, of love, of these days of Shir Hashirim, the Avas Hashem, Zacharti Lach Avas Klulosayach, that will give us the strength to project us in the future during the year to come against the Yetzer Hara, to overcome, to dedicate ourselves to Torah, to mitzvos, to Maisim Tov, to Chesed, to come closer to Hashem, to grab on to this special holiday, this holiday in which the Medrash calls us Bas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us like a Bas. We are his Bas Yechidah, and that love relationship should intensify and inspire us for the year to come. Amir Tzashem, Kein Yiratzon, Amen.